Welcome to the Marriage Adventure Podcast, where the journey is the destination. It's the highs, the lows, and everything in between.
Hey, thanks for joining us for today's episode. We're your hosts, Daniel and Bonnie Hoover.
Yep, it's great to have you here. Hope you guys have had a great week and hope you've had a little bit of fun, a little bit of adventure with your spouse. Bonnie had some fun this week. Come tell everybody what you did.
Yeah, I don't know if you would call it fun. It was definitely an adventure and we're still in the middle of it. I guess it was Tuesday. I got into a fight with a column in our living room walking through. I caught my baby toe on it and it is broken.
She's been hobbling around on crutches all week, and the baby toe, I think God put that there to just kind of grab things.
Yeah.
And so we're literally about to start recording, hit record on the on this here podcast. And Bonnie, tell them what you did.
It grabbed on something again. So
Kelly Clarkson.
She literally just screamed.
Yeah. So I'm sitting here with it propped up and with an ice pack, but. You know, it's okay. It could be worse. It could be my big toe, and it could be on my right foot. I can still drive.
That's right. And no pressure. We have a trip scheduled in 2 weeks to go to Cloudland Canyon State Park with lots of hiking. So it'll be fun. It'll be fun. You'll do great. You'll do great. Well, today we want to talk about a topic that, man, is near and dear to our heart that we think is so important for marriage. And so we call this the marriage adventure, right? So when you go on an adventure, who do you go with?
Well, hopefully it's somebody that you like. I mean, you're not going to invite somebody on a trip that you don't enjoy spending time with.
No, it's kind of like when those people call you and they want you to go do something and you're like, I really don't want to go with them.
I heard a quote the other day about vacation from Mark Twain. It says, I've found out that there ain't no surer way to find out whether you like people or hate them than to travel with them.
That's very true. So years ago, I was training. I wanted to do a marathon, and I've done several since. And people ask, what's the toughest thing about doing a marathon? And the toughest thing about doing a marathon is bringing it up in every topic, you know, because you want to talk about it. So, but this story really is applicable. So I was wanting to train for one. Bonnie and I had, we had done some halves together, and she was not interested in doing a marathon.
Not whatsoever.
You'd already done two halves, so.
Well, that's a full marathon.
Basically, you'd already done one. So she was not interested in training, so I was like, I got to train with somebody that I like. And so I'm just sitting literally, and then who's going to want to do a marathon, right? So there was this guy at our church who was a few years older than me, kind of a little bit in the next stage of life for me, and really an awesome guy, godly guy, cool guy. And I just kind of stepped. It was like asking him out on a date. I said, hey, would you want to? And I don't think he ran. I didn't know. But he did. He didn't run, but he had always wanted to do a marathon. And so we trained that 6 months together, and it was cool because as we're on this adventure, we're getting to know each other and we're getting finding out more, and I'm learning and he's learning. So when you do something like that, when you go on an adventure, you got to go with someone that you like, that you're going to spend a lot of time with.
So over the next couple of weeks, we want to talk about the importance of friendship in marriage, because when we first get married, we like each other. We are friends. We spend time together and we enjoy being together. And as we start an adventure, we're buds.
Yeah. And if you think about the best marriages, I know the best marriages I know, they're probably good friends. And you spend a lot of time together. There's that old adage, the old saying that love is spelled T-I-M-E. And so I'm not good at spelling. I don't really think that spells friendship, but it's very true. And the best marriages that I know, man, they really get along. They spend a lot of time together. They're friends. My parents have been married 58, almost 59 years. Mm-hmm. And probably by the time you're listening to this, it'll be 59 years. Mm-hmm. And they love spending time together. And they love having fun together. You know, my mom said, Daniel, I can't even go to Walmart to get something for your dad. He wants to go with me. He always wants to be with me. And so when you married this person, you must have felt like they were a pretty good friend. I mean, enough so that you thought you could be around this person for the next 40 or 50 years. And so that's what we're going to talk about today, having fun together.
We call this segment Lightning Round. Daniel, I've got questions and you've got 1 minute to answer as many of them as you can. Ready?
I'm ready.
If today was your last day, what would you want me to prepare for you as your last meal?
That Italian noodly thing you do, the one pot pasta.
Okay. What song?
And cinnamon rolls as dessert.
Okay. What song perfectly describes our relationship?
Wild Thing. Sorry.
What three things would we definitely take if we were going to live on a secluded island?
I would take you. I guess we would need to take the kids.
That would be three.
Okay. Yes. Yeah, I want to take the kids. Yes, I love them.
Okay, good. How would you describe our wildest night? Okay. If we could eat only one kind of food for the rest of our lives, what would it be?
I'd eat peanut butter.
Okay. Gross. That's it? Okay. What is the most memorable moment of our courtship days?
I'll never forget the night on the trestles, our DTR, define the relationship type okay. talk.
Yes. Where would you like both of us to go right now?
To bed.
And that's all we have time for. Well, welcome back. When brainstorming aspects about friendship and marriage, we came up with a ton of things that we thought make great friendships. But today we want to talk about three of those things. And when you think about your best friendships, they're probably a lot of elements that go into making your friendship, you know, last, one that's maybe stood the test of time. Think about your best friends and how long you've been friends. And there's some things that are like, okay, this makes this friendship work. And I think it's also true in any marriage that there are going to be some key elements that really make a good friendship work in your marriage.
Yeah, and like we said, time and carving out time. And you guys have heard, and we've all heard date night, planning dates. And it was funny because before we had kids, so Bonnie and I were married 13 years before we had kids. Mm-hmm. Eight of that was us choosing to wait because we were doing our thing in ministry and traveling on the road and all. And then the next five was God making us wait through infertility and all. But so when I heard date night, I felt like that was for older couple. I mean, for us, it wasn't date night. It was just life. You know, we went out, we hung out together. We didn't have anything else. And I guess especially traveling on the road, we were in a little motorhome. And so we were always together. That was kind of our life.
Yeah.
And so, but then when we had kids, we saw, okay, we've got to carve out time and we got normal jobs. And we felt like we were like, okay, I understand what this date night thing is. Now, some people, boring people, call it date night, but since you're a marriage adventurer, what are we going to call them? Adventurites. Adventurers.
Adventurers.
Adventurers. We call this adventuring, right? And here's what we label as an adventure. So if you go over to the world renowned, the marriage adventure .com, you will, you're going to sign up. We're going on and we're just going to say you're going to do this. You're going to sign up for the challenge. And here's what we label as an adventure. It's any time you and your spouse intentionally make time to do something fun together, to spend time together. And it's the intentionality that makes it so important.
So we've seen with kids, I mean, having children, man, those little suckers are, I mean, they will suck some time from you if you let them, and they will, they want all of our attention. They require it. They demand it. And so early in our marriage, we realized we are so busy. We're so overwhelmed. And if we don't be intentional about this, if we take our eye off the ball, then we're going to just lose ourselves in our children. So,
and in the process of raising kids, we lose ourselves in that process, especially when your kids are young and in different stages. You're just trying to figure out that stage. And by the time you figure out that stage is over. Mm-hmm. And then as your kids grow, or maybe your kids are teenagers, and oh my word, you're dealing with so many aspects, not just their changing bodies and their emotional state with their schedules and their home. I mean, you're just managing chaos, it seems like. And that's what your relationship with your spouse becomes, is just managing chaos. And that's where building in weekly adventures, weekly dates is so important.
Well, it's important. It's important to make that time together, but it also sends this vital message to your spouse that I'm pushing everything else to the side and I'm giving you my top priority. It's the thing that says, yes, my children are important. And I'll say, as a mom, it's really easy to end up allowing yourself to be sucked into the world of your children controlling all of your time and all of your energy and all of your emotions. They're poured into that, to those children. And you just kind of like, okay, well, I know I need to make time for my spouse. I know priority wise, he should be the most important, but kids just require that you do that.
Well, they require it, but at the end of the day, your spouse doesn't validate us like our kids do.
True.
Your kids, as wonderfully frustrating as they are, they validate you because
in a weird way, and
sometimes it could be in an unhealthy way where you feel like, oh, I have worth. They need me. And it's funny because even in the moments that we're most frustrated and we hate that, like, oh, I just need a break, it still puts, we all walk around as humans with a little cup and we hold it out and say, put something in my cup and validate me, fill up my cup. And kids, whether they're babies or whatever stage, they need you. And it's so much easier to pour your time in that than a spouse that doesn't, you know, fill up your cup as much as your child does.
Yeah. Well, and when Josie was a baby, we could just take her along and do whatever. Still, she would fit in a carrier and it was easy. And then you add Colby and you've got a 2-year-old and a baby and you realize, okay, this is not a fun date anymore. So our parents don't live up here close to us. So to go out, we started really at that point understanding what all these couples were saying. We just can't afford a date night. It's too expensive. Yeah, you have to get a sitter. You have to arrange for that. It takes great deal of planning to be able to, one, to just find somebody to come and sit with your kids that you trust, and then to be able to afford to do that, plus going out and doing something. So that became a challenge for us. And then God just brought this amazing couple into our lives we hadn't seen for a while, and God just brought them back into our lives, and they were so great. Their kids were already grown and out of their house, and so they told us, they said, I tell you what, you bring your babies over and let us spend time with them every Friday night, as many as we can. And they said, when we were in your stage of life, we had somebody do that for us. And we always said, if later in life we have the opportunity, we're going to bless another couple that way. And so they did that for us. They, it was at least probably three out of four.
It was awesome.
They were unbelievable.
And our kids loved it.
Oh, they're like in-town grandparents for our kids. And our kids just love that time that they had with them. And it was funny because our kids call them Rick and Debba. And
their names were Rick and Debra, but they called her Debba.
Debba. And so they taught our kids when we would come back, they'd say, okay, say bye to mom and dad. They're going on their hot date. And so our kids started calling it when we would go out on dates. They're saying, mom and daddy go on hot date, hot date. So I don't know how hot our dates were at that time. Sometimes we would be so tired. But the fact that they had offered for us to have that one-on-one quality time, we'd drop them off sometimes and pick up pizza and just come and sit at the house and veg and watch a movie in silence, which was fun, or just sit on the back porch and spend time together. But it was so great to just carve out that time, and we were super blessed to have that opportunity.
Intentionality.
Yeah.
It's the intentionality of it. So whatever stage you're in as you're listening to this, maybe you're in the kid stage. Maybe you are in the empty nest stage. And I'm telling you, if you want to bless a young couple, if you want to invest back into a young couple, find a young couple that you can stand being around their kids. That's important. And give them a date night. Maybe you can't do every week or 3 weeks a month like Rick and Debbie did us. But, man, if you could do it once, twice a month, for free, you have no idea what you're doing to invest back in to a young marriage and to a young couple. So that's the first one.
And if you hadn't had kids in a while, that might be an adventure for you to have toddlers back in your house. That might be you and your spouse's opportunity to have an adventure if you're willing to do that for somebody else.
That's true. So that's the first one. Be intentional date nights, or better yet, adventures. So here's the second thing we came up with. Have fun. Have fun. Man, life can get so boring and routine, and especially in marriage, when we're not intentional, or even when we are intentional, we get in a rut. And so change it up and have fun.
Yeah, it's interesting, because the more we started looking at this and studying it, just the idea of exhilaration, doing something mm-hmm. that's outside of our norm, that can be challenging and fun. I mean, fun for everybody looks different. I mean, it could be going on a walk at a park. It could be going, oh my goodness, skydiving. I wouldn't do that, just so you know.
I'm not going to lie. Fun today sounds like binge watching something.
That does sound like pizza. Fun. But something that's exhilarating, something that you can do where you laugh together. And when you laugh together, it's that the laughter and exhilaration release just a chemical in your brain, and that causes a bonding experience that happens for you. It's like it's that opioid of it's the chemical.
It's actually called dopamine bonding, and what it does is it bonds you to whatever you're doing, and that's why addictions happen. Because it releases dopamine and it bonds you to that thing. And but in marriage, when you have fun with your spouse, it releases dopamine and creates a chemical bond that you just can't reproduce. And so, man, just get out, have fun, do something fun together, get out of the norm. And that's why we recommend taking a vacation of some sort every year with just you and your spouse. We learned early in our marriage, it's funny because one of my brothers, he and his wife said, we do a vacation with the kids every year, and then we do a vacation with just us every year. And I don't know what your finances look like, but that vacation doesn't have to be anything massive and expensive. It's just the intentionality and then getting away and doing something out of the norm, having fun, going to a city that you've never been to, or going on a zip line, something like that. But get that dopamine bonding going.
Yeah. Well, and then the third thing that we want to talk about as far as friendship goes is having shared hobbies. We talked to some couples, and they're in this dilemma of they just don't enjoy the same things. They say, his hobby is this, mine's that. I don't like that at all.
He's like, I don't like to play video games, and he doesn't like to, you know, go into antique shops with me. And I kind of said, you know what? It doesn't matter if you like it. Because at the end of the day, it's not about the action you're doing. It's about the person you're doing it with. And there's some things that I like that Bonnie might not necessarily like, and things that she likes that I might not necessarily like. But I didn't marry Bonnie to do those hobbies of mine. I married Bonnie to create a life with her. And so at the end of the day, it's about that person. So Bonnie has a great story of your mama. I think it's pretty cool.
Gracious. My mom, when she and my dad got married, my dad loved to hunt. He was the outdoorsy type. He hunted, fished. He did all of that manly man stuff. And he moved my mom in the middle of nowhere onto this farm where they had no neighbors. And so he loved riding horses and hunting and doing all that kind of stuff. And my mom figured out pretty early, I'm not going to really win him over away from these hobbies. So it's that old idea of if you can't beat them, join them. So my mom learned to deer hunt. She learned to dove hunt and fish and ride horses.
She actually got to be a better shot than he did, probably.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. She was a great shot. In fact, growing up, we hunted, and my dad, if we ever had any deer that were huge they killed, they might mount them. The one over the fireplace was my mom's.
Yeah,
she's awesome. And I kind of took a cue from my mom in that area. And we first got married, Daniel was crazy football fan, and I liked football because I'd always grown up with my brother playing football and different things like that. I'd been around it at school, but I really didn't understand the game. So sitting down and watching an entire football game on TV just did not sound like fun to me.
And this is something that she really needed to get on the same page with me about. So what we did was, I was about to say it's in the fall. Yes, that's football season. But it was late fall when like high school playoffs were going on. And I grew up in a town that was massive high school football. And so they were actually on our GPTV, which is like Georgia Public Broadcasting. And they had the playoffs, and they were running for 2 days straight. And so we got sick. Like, we both got the flu or something. I can't remember. We were like housebound for a couple of days. And so I turned on the TV and I said, okay, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to take you to football school. Now, I didn't get too in-depth, but I taught her everything she'd need to know to really just kind of enjoy the game. And so that first game or two we watched, it was just teaching her about it. And I draw out things on the paper. And then, the next 2 days we watched all these high schools play. It was the funnest thing.
It was fun.
Even though we were sick. And now,
I love college football.
23 years later, Bonnie's as big a fan as I am, and I don't ever disrupt when the Georgia game's on.
No, that's not when we have conversations. And no, because I enjoy it. It's so much fun. Because sometimes if you take the time to invest in somebody else's interest, you might find it's more fun than you thought.
Or create an experience around it. Don't get sick. Don't do that like we did. But create an experience around it. Go teach them the game. And then go to a game, if that's just an example. And make it fun. Tailgate. We're trying to figure out how to do that with our daughter, Josie. She does not like football. She loves baseball. She doesn't like football. So we're trying to create some experience to get her to like it. Because she's going to be miserable in the fall if she doesn't.
She always is.
But shared hobbies is, I mean, you've got to do it.
Well, we do this for our kids. We're willing to put that time
exactly
in. Because,
right.
I mean, Josie was into gymnastics for a couple of years, and it was not my favorite thing.
No.
But you are willing to do that for your child because you love them and you want to see them have fun doing something.
You follow their interests.
Yeah, so it's worth it to do that for your spouse. And it's more about investing in that person than in what you're actually doing. And it's being willing to step out of your comfort zone and do something for somebody that you love.
Yep. So, ladies, if your husband's into video games, you know, that might be his retreat, so you don't want to do it all the time. But if that's something that he likes, you might want to learn a little bit about it. And husbands, if your wife likes deer hunting you might or likes going shopping, you might want to learn to do it and do it with a great attitude, because it's no fun when someone has a sour attitude. So, okay, those are our three tips for today on just having fun in your marriage. And there's so much more we could talk about on that. And we will as time goes on. So we have some action steps for you, like always. Here's our first action step.
First thing you can do is join the Marriage Adventure Challenge. We've given you the resources for that. A lot of date night ideas and fun that you
adventure
can do.
Nights,
adventure nights. Yes, they're not just boring dates. They're adventures that you're going to have with your spouse. You go on there, you sign up, and you get all of the resources there to be able to do that. And you can challenge somebody else to do that with you for accountability. Because after a while, we just kind of forget. It's like, okay, let's do this. Yeah, we're going to do this. But then if you've got somebody holding you accountable, it reminds you, you know what? It's important for me to have an adventure with my spouse this week.
That's right. And my challenge to you husbands is you plan it. Put it on the calendar. Send a calendar request through your iPhone or Google or whatever. That will shock your wife and just say, hey, we're going to do something fun. And man, it might end up doing other things fun. So,
well, and when I get a calendar request from someone, that it tells me that they've taken enough time, that they're interested in making spending time with me a priority. If it's a meeting or if it's a lunch I'm doing and I get a calendar request, I know that they have held me as a high priority. And if I were to get a calendar request from you as a date, I would think, wow, okay, he's planned a date. He's planned it out.
You're important.
I'm important. I'm as important as anything else he's got on his calendar that week. So
that
would be awesome.
Yep. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast. Then head on over to Facebook and Instagram and give us a follow. Have a great week.